If you got your Bibles, would you go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 2? I am going to deal with this first paragraph of this passage in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the first eight verses. Now, Sean, your mom is in the hospital. Is there? Judy called me about 10 o'clock last night, and she's going through it. I wasn't quite aware she's still in the hospital. And she thought she had called me earlier in the day, and she hadn't. But she's having a real hard time. And I hope you're listening, Judy. Your preacher loves you. This church loves you. I want everybody that loves Judy, raise your hand. If the cameras could get, hold them up. If cameras get on that, how many go pray for her? Hold them up. I want y'all to show the crowd, okay? They waving at you, Judy. God bless you. Let me make this announcement because I'm going to get in a big way of preaching in a minute. I want to ask all of our members to stay after service. Now, you may be rushing to go eat. I promise you it won't be over 5 minutes. It's not a vote or anything like that. It's just some information I've got to give you, and I don't want you to hear it from somebody else, and I just want to get it done once and for all and then be rid of it, okay? So understand that. Please stay. And I'm not resigning. You don't get a shout, okay? I'm not. There's a couple people here with a boyfriend or girlfriend. I give permission to stay. So hear me out today. But stand with me with your Bibles open, would you? Let's give reverence to the Word of God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. It's a wonderful passage of scripture, and I've studied it all week. The revival has been such a help to me this week. How many got help this week? I want you to know it helped the preacher. I needed it this week. I needed to hear from God, and I did. And so I want to read this passage and then do an exposition of it. And I mean that, a literal exposition of this passage of scripture. And be honoring God's word. Say amen right there. Amen. Paul said, I exhort, therefore, now notice this, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And notice that word, all men, there, because he's going to mention a lot in this passage. For kings and for all that are in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will. Now I say it again. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Notice, who gave himself a ransom for all. To testify in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Then, verse 8, I will, here it goes again, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Our Father, help me to be true to the Bible today. Give a proper exposition of this great passage of Scripture. This is one of them I call, Lord, a mountain peak passage. A defining passage. A separating passage. A polarizing passage. But nevertheless, an inspired, infallible, inerrant passage. God help us to be true to your word in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now I want you, how many of you will do me a favor this morning? Will you follow me through every one of these verses? Will you do it? How many will do that? Will you do that? I mean, stay with me. I want to give you the context of this exposition. And I'm just going to do an exposition of these verses. And then give an invitation. Number one, as we introduce this passage of Scripture, in verse number one, I see a call to prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever a time we need to pray, it is today. As your pastor, I am calling out to every member of this church, find a place to bare your face and pray to Almighty God. And we need to do it today. Notice the passion of this call. I exhort. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty works, which thou knowest not. Oh, I exhort every one of you to find a place to pray. I exhort every one of you to let Jesus teach you how to pray. I exhort every one of you to pray, to pray, to pray, because we will just go as far as our prayer life takes us. There is power in prayer. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. Somebody help me preach. And then I see the priority of the call. Notice this. First of all, when you leave the bed in the morning, pray. When you spend the day, pray. When you go to bed at night, pray. You say, why pray? Why should it be first? Because, ladies and gentlemen, everything that we believe is at stake. We are in a battle. We are not in a skirmish. We're not in just a little test. We are in a battle for everything that we believe. And the only hope for us is to get on our knees and pray to a thrice holy God and beg him for healing and beg him for help. Beg him that sinners get saved. Somebody help me. Beg him to heal families. Beg him to heal our wayward children. I say to you, pray. Number two, I see the character of prayer in verse one. Notice it. There's a petition in prayer. The word supplications is the word for petitions. What God's saying is that when you pray for what you have desire for. Prayer is simply asking God for your needs. Somebody help me. You can't have prayer without petition. And be honest with you, most of our prayers are about petition. I asked him this morning to give me boldness. I asked him this morning, in my boldness, layer it with mercy. I asked the Lord this morning distinctly to help me to be able to stand. But help me be able to stand in a humble, sweet type of way. Somebody help me preach. See, and also prayer, the person of prayer. I want you to know something. I'm not praying to Buddha. No. I'm not praying to Muhammad. No, sir. I'm not praying to Mary. I'm praying to Jesus, and I'm praying to God. Somebody help me preach. There's no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no power like the power of God. Then the people in prayer. He uses the word intercessions. Prayer shouldn't always be just about self. Prayer ought to be about someone else. Sometimes I feel like I fail here. I feel like sometimes I may spend too much time on my needs. I don't mean to. And not enough time and interceding on the weak, for the weak and the wayward and the wandering. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got somebody who needs salvation, you got somebody who needs healing, you got somebody that's hurting, you may be the only one that can stand in the gap for them and intercede for them and help them. I don't mean to chase a rabbit, and I sure want to go somewhere with this message. Remember the story of Elijah when the Shunammite boy died? How he went in unto her and unto that boy, and he laid his body on top of that boy's body. He laid his hand upon his hands, his lips upon his lips, his thighs on his thighs, and he started praying. And then all of a sudden, I don't need to get off this. I'm about to get happy. All of a sudden, that boy went, achoo, achoo, started sneezing. You want to find a way to get sinners saved? You want to find a way to intercede for your fallen child? You want to find a way to get God to move on your behalf for someone else? Then you intercede in prayer. And then there ought to be a little praise in prayer, a little worship. Now, let me hurry. I got to hurry. The concerns in prayer. Notice the plenariness in the concerns. Who was Paul concerned for? All men. All men. I want you to know we are to pray for all men. And then the powerful in our concerns. He said, pray for kings and those that are in authority. Now, all y'all basically know where I stand politically. I stand opposite of our current president. But hold a minute. I do. I think he's already caused a major crisis at the border. I believe his leadership will lead to some destruction in our country. However, this morning, I called Joe Biden's name out, President Biden, and I will use the proper respect. I called his name out in prayer. You say, why would you do that since you don't believe in him? I did that because this Bible tells me to do that. Somebody help me preach. Then I see, whoo, the petitions in the concern. He prays for peacefulness. That's a quiet and peaceful spirit. I want y'all to know this. I'm not at war with nobody. I'm trying my best to live peaceably with people. I'll take strong stands against false doctrine. But I'm not necessarily saying I hate the person of the false doctrine. I just hate the false doctrine. So, can you understand me? I don't hate nobody. Somebody help me preach. I don't hate anyone. Then the propriety in our prayers. Honesty. You know what bothers me in Christianity today? There's a lot of people that are disingenuous and just not really honest. Somebody help me preach. Now notice verse 3, and y'all's going to see a flip here. Ready for a flip? You ready for our Paul? Paul said something, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And when Paul said, Tim, when Paul said, Savior, it set him off. How many of y'all been under my preaching every once in a while and you heard me preach? And then out of the blue, I run what you call a rabbit. How many's ever heard your preacher do that? Or I left context to cover something else. Y'all ever heard me do that? Well, I'm not alone in this matter because Paul himself, this is what I call these next three verses a peripheral expression. A peripheral expression. Let me get my English right. And when he mentioned the Savior, he went on what I call a sacred sidetrack. And this is actually the message this morning. He said, I want to address a subject, and that's the salvation of everybody on the planet. Hey! Somebody help me preach. Now, I'm going to go slow. Chad, try. If I get too carried away, you just come up and smack me down a little bit. Help me. I want to say three things. I'll label this fourth one the conversions and our prayer. I'll try to stay true to the text. Whew. There's another verse that goes along with these three verses. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody on this planet to go to hell. And he has provided means that no one has to go to hell. Now notice, and I'm going to be real careful. Most of you is believers. Notice, first of all, the will of God for salvation. Make no bones about it. Who will have all men to be saved. Chad, who did he say pray for in verse 1? All men. The same all men in verse 1 are the all men in verse 4. If you're in this room and not sure you're saved or not saved, God is not going to pass you up. He's not going to go to this crowd and say, I'll save you and pass you up. No, the offer of salvation is not just for some little elect. The offer of salvation is for everyone. And you are disingenuous, sir. You're disingenuous, ma'am, in thinking you can save the whole world, but you actually just believe he died for elect. At least be honest about your heresy. Just be honest. Quit being disingenuous. Quit going around in circles. He either died for everyone or he didn't die for everyone. Now notice, y'all still learning? The Calvinists believe that God, listen, wouldn't will anything he couldn't bring to pass. But I say to you, God desires everyone to be saved. Jesus died and bled for everyone. And everyone, and I'm going to say this, Calvinists, God calls every sinner and enlightens every sinner and tries to get every sinner saved. But God in his sovereignty gave us responsibility to either receive it or reject it. I do know most of this crowd are changing their Bibles now. They're going to the ESV and the NASB and the NIV because all of those change the word will there. Somebody help me preach. See, these verses violate what is called the tulip theory. Total inability, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saint. That is a theory for man that was birthed with Augustine, went on into Calvin, promoted by the reformers, and you could call it reformed theology. The doctrines of salvation, you can call it what you want, but I call it error. Somebody help me preach. They say if it's for the whole world, it would damage God. This is a twisted view of Calvinism. Somebody help me preach. You tell Spurgeon, Washer, Piper, MacArthur, John Smith said, they're in error. Somebody help me preach.
Yeah, man, you're preaching right there.
See, what they say, nothing can go on unless God approves it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to hell this morning, you'll go to hell because of your sin. But hear me. Hear me. Don't tell me that God is going to move on your sin and convict you of your sin, but not somebody else of their sin. And that's true is that he selectively wants one group to be saved, one alive. That's what they call double predestination. Those dudes don't want to say that, but that's what they believe. Because if he predestined the elect to be saved, then the rest of us, and I just like to know, how can we even know? Well, I don't want to get on that too hard. Let me go on. Y'all still with me? See, here's this blows my mind. They believe no one can repent and no one can believe and receive Christ unless they be regenerated first. Can I read a verse of scripture? I laid this before one of those Calvinists this week, and he couldn't say anything about it. Can I read this to you? I just thought it would. Turn with me, please. I want everybody to look at this. If you're here lost, I want you to look at this. I'm giving you the truth. I lie not. Turn to Ephesians 1. Hurry. How many's hurrying? You're probably saying, why don't you get there? Turn to Ephesians 1. If you're Ephesians 1, say amen. I want to tell all y'all how this works. Look at verse 13. How many's got your Bible there? Amen. Come on, tell me. Amen. It says this, in whom ye also trusted. Listen. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You don't get the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and the sealing work of the Holy Spirit and the presence presence of the Holy Spirit until you believe the gospel. Now listen to me. I do believe God draws sinners. I remember the day. I do believe God convicts sinners. I remember the day. But God does not regenerate somebody and then they later believe. That means God passes over you and goes to somebody else, lays in jail, and what kind of love is that? Oh, it's a good preacher. See, they don't believe you can cry and plead out to God unless you've been regenerated. They don't believe that a sinner can come to Christ and receive him as Savior unless you've been regenerated before you believe. And listen to this. And and the proof of that you're saved is a lordship type of salvation. Or your holiness. I want y'all to know this. I'm trying to be holy, but I ain't there yet. I do not believe in lordship salvation, but they believe that because they believe in the perseverance of the saints, and they believe the saint will persevere and come to holiness, and that's how they'll know they're saved. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been times in my life I've been carnal as a devil, but I want you to know, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord stands true, that he knows them are his. Amen. 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 Oh, and I know. What'd they say? You're misrepresenting me. No, you're misrepresenting my God of love. Amen. Number two, not only the will of God for salvation, the way to God for conversion. Listen to me. Look at the verse. Go back to 1 Timothy. How many's there? How many's still there? How many's learning something this morning? The way of God for conversion. Look at verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, Amen. The man Christ Jesus. Amen. Notice first of all, Chad, the restriction. There's only one mediator. There's only one way. This is one of 14 verses that are anti-Catholic. Because Mary's not the middleman. I don't pray through Mary. I pray through Jesus. He's my advocate. He's my intercessor. Somebody help me preach. Church membership's not going to get you saved. Baptism's not going to get you saved. Chad, there's one way to be saved. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ladies and gentlemen, kind of quieten down a little bit. Salvation isn't a Baptist thing or a Catholic thing or a Lutheran thing. To be honest with you, it's all about Jesus. Now, I'm a Baptist because of conviction. But I want you to know something. Being a Baptist is not why John Smith's going to heaven. Somebody raise your hand and shout. The reason you're going to heaven and the reason your old dead soul's going to heaven is because God loved you. And there's one mediator, one that hung on the cross, one that stopped the hand of the devil, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Then notice this. I'm hurrying. The reason he's a ransom for all. Verse 6. And he gave himself a ransom, church say it, for what? Oh, I got that wrong. Many? A few? Oh! Now I want to show y'all something. See, they believe what is called the Calvinist limited atonement or limited application. That it's only limited to a certain elect. And the rest of the people he didn't shed his blood for. And the rest of the people he did not call to be saved. And I'll say this to you. If there's no blood for me and no calling for me, there's no salvation for me. Now I want to show y'all. Will y'all all take your Bible? Let me show you something. I want to show you something. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm trying to hurry. Dear God. When you do exposition, it takes a little while sometimes. I want to read two verses to you. Now they say he didn't die. He didn't pay for everybody's sins. Listen to me in the room here. He paid for your sins. Amen. Listen to me in the room. You know he paid for false prophet sins? He prayed for Hitler's sins. He prayed for Mussolini's sins. He paid for the whole world's sins. Now you say, can you prove that? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll show you. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Notice, even denying the Lord that bought them. So, how many got that? Did you interpret that like I didn't interpret it? He paid for the sin of the false prophet. How many got that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. I'm almost done. I'm hurrying. I'm going around the port. I'm heading home. Are you there? Hebrews 10, 29. Not only did he pay the sins of the false prophet, and he bought their salvation, he also paid the sins for the legalistic Jew. For how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I want you to know something. Lois, God died for the whole world. Amen. And if you reject it, all you're doing is stomping it under your feet. But I want you to know something. I'm going to bring you to the point. God loves you. Amen. He's not willing that any of you die and go to hell. Amen. And you say, preacher, what keeps me from being saved? Your sin. What gets you in hell? Your sin. I believe that. But here's what I do believe. He done something for your sin. He shed his blood. And he's done something else. He'll reveal himself in you through the convicting, drawing power of the Spirit. And then he'll give you the opportunity to receive it or reject it. That crowd believes in irresistible grace. Stephen said to the Pharisees, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, may I end? If you're unsure of salvation, if you don't know you're saved, I didn't finish, but he said he ordained me a preacher. What it is all about is for me to preach the gospel. And depend. I don't believe in the autonomy of man. I don't believe one man can be saved by himself. I believe the Holy Spirit reveals him, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you'll never get me to believe he died for one group and he'll allow the other group without blood and without conviction to die and go to hell. You're not getting me on that saddle. But the most important thing, they say it's the wrong question. Preacher boys, they tell me I'm asking the wrong question. But I'm going to ask it anyway. If you died today, I'm going to ask everyone, you look at me right, my God-given eyeball. Everyone in your room, if you die today, how many of you are 100% sure you'd know if you die, you'd go to heaven, raise them up. Amen. Hold them up high. Thank you, you may put them down. Now look at me. Heads bowed, people praying. If you're not sure you're saved, and you couldn't raise your hand, but you don't want to die and go to hell, you don't want to die in your sin, you really want to come to the knowledge of truth, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Maybe you've been a church member in the past, or maybe you've been religious, but you just don't know you're saved. Just slip it up and say, pray for me. This morning, God's dealing with my heart. Bless that hand. Somebody else. If you couldn't raise them, just raise it right now and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die and burn in hell forever. I want my sins paid for. I don't want to live with this guilt. Just slip your hand. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you're here and not saved, you come around right now and trust Christ. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for prayer. Then thank you for Paul pausing and presenting the plan of salvation. Now, help sinners as you're convicting them and as you're revealing your truth to them to come and receive you. For the first time probably they ever thought about this morning, deal with them in Jesus' name. Amen.